Now, we may have many different ideas, and some of us may just be so generous and we just, oh, come on, in you come. Some of us might think, well, maybe we could make a little small plate, you know, one less pig in blanket. Some of us might think, oh, I could get someone to ring the alarm, the fire alarm, and then I have to rush in and I have to close the door. In our culture, we have a choice about who we let into our home. They say an Englishman's house is his castle, and we don't have to be hospitable, but in other cultures, you do. And for those living in Jesus' day, hospitality wasn't a choice. You were expected, if someone arrived, you were expected to welcome them in and to feed them and to water them. And if they had livestock, to do that as well, the whole lot. It's what it meant to be a Jew. And in a moment, we're going to do a little bit of myth busting, okay, about what happened on that first Christmas and think about what that means to us today as we think about making room for Jesus. And I want to just read a few verses just from Luke chapter 2. And it says this: in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth to a son. She gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The first myth we want to bust should come up, hopefully, is that Jesus never existed. You know, some people believe that. Jesus, I went out on the high street a few weeks before Christmas with some flyers with the different churches in Orpington. I met a guy who just didn't believe Jesus really existed. And when Luke writes his gospel, he writes it and he creates an orderly account. He's spoken to the different eyewitnesses and he's writes it down. And he starts here by saying that Caesar Augustus decided that everybody should be registered. And he says that this was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. What he's pointing to is that this is a moment in history. We know about Caesar Augustus. Probably we don't know much about Quirinius. I mean, he looks something like that. Very straight hair. I don't know how they cut that in those days. No pupils, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, must have looked quite special. But Luke shows us these two points in history because it happened in history. This moment happened in history. And those who read the gospel first must have been able to look into these things themselves. They would have remembered. Oh, do you remember when Quirinius? Do you remember when the census happened? For us, 2,000 years later, this is a little bit harder. But there is a great deal of evidence inside the Bible, but also outside the Bible, about Jesus. He was a real person. He lived and walked this earth. And here, Luke mentions the powers of the day enforcing a census on the populace. You know that the powers of the day can do what they want, can't they? You know, we are at the mercy of our government. When they say certain things, we have to do those certain things. I was talking to the children the other day about when I grew up, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. And they used to have adverts, didn't they? Buckle up, belt up. I can't remember. But it wasn't a rule. Now, we don't even think about it. It is the law. We have to do what our government decides. And here, the powers of the day say, hey, we want to register everyone, probably because they wanted to raise the taxes, you know, make sure everyone was paying. And then we come to Jesus. We come to Joseph. And when Luke wrote his gospel, lots of people would say, hey, you know what, Jesus, he came from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. And Luke writes to show that Jesus came from Bethlehem, that that's where he
was. And we kind of have this contrast in this passage of Caesar on Quirinius, like these powers, and then it comes down and lands in real life with this guy called Joseph, who no one had ever really heard of before. And maybe he has to go to his hometown. Maybe he was the first one who sang "Driving Home for Christmas" or "Riding Home for Christmas" on the, you know, just putting it out there. You know, maybe he hummed the tune first time around. And as a result of this census, Joseph travels from Nazareth with his fiancée Mary, and we're told that he's heading to the city of David, that's Bethlehem, and that he's from the lineage of David. And these mentions of David are key. This is a descendant of David to whom God promised that one of his descendants would reign forever. And he's heading to Bethlehem, the city of David, the very town where Micah prophesied that the Saviour would be born, the Messiah would be born. And we're supposed to be thinking, oh my goodness, look what is happening here. Something amazing is happening. And then we hear also that his fiancée is pregnant. So a man from the line of David is going to the city of David with his pregnant fiancée. And Luke keeps pointing us to this significance of what's happening here. This is the promised Messiah, the descendant of David, being born in Bethlehem. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And the third myth I wanted to bust is that Jesus was rejected in Bethlehem. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, when we hear that word inn, we probably think of a hotel, don't we? Is that what happens? You think of no vacancy. You know, if you've been in a nativity at some stage, a key role is being an innkeeper, saying, hey, there's no room here. And then innkeeper number two, there's no room here. There's no room here. And then suddenly someone says, hey, you know what? I've got a cattle shed. But this is not the way we should understand this. I'm going to bust some myths. So a descendant of David arrives in the city of David and needs a place to lay his head. And even more significant was his fiancée is pregnant. Now, we might have a choice if Peter arrives at our door and we decide whether to let him in or not. But in Bethlehem, they would have welcomed them in. There was this culture of welcoming people in. And the word which is translated in is better understood as a spare room. Oh, that one, that's the one. So these are kind of what houses look like in the Middle East. And the guest room may have been on the ground floor or it may have been on the top of the house. You know, when Jesus went to the upper room for the Last Supper, that would have been the guest room on the top of the house. And houses at the time, most people would have had cattle as well as whatever else you had in your house. So there was always a space where you would bring in your cattle. So when Jesus was born, and when they say there's no space at the inn, it meant there was no space in the spare room. So the family would have had to make space in this place where they would normally keep the animals. And this room is where Mary and Joseph would have been placed. There was no room in the guest room, so they find themselves in the kind of animal quarters of the house. And the family who owned this house had to make room for Jesus. They had to make space where they didn't really have any. So the Messiah was born and he's placed in this animal room, which no doubt would have been a lot more messy than a nice guest room. You may have a room in your house that you think, I don't want anyone to see that room. This was that kind of room. And your life may feel messy and full of other things, but the opportunity of Christmas is to make room for him. He really did exist 2,000 years ago. He really did walk this earth in the Middle East. He really walked, if you've ever been there, I've not been there, but if you've ever been there, he walked those streets. He was there. And he is the promised Messiah, the one to whom the whole of the Old Testament points towards Jesus. If you make room in your heart, he will come into your busy or messy life and bring his peace and fullness of joy. Jesus is the saviour of the world that we see in this child. We meet in Christmas lying helpless. I don't know why I pointed here, because the manger's no longer here. It's gone away. But in a manger, in the animal room of a house. And he invites you and I this Christmas to make room to get to know him more. I want to invite you, if you've not done an Alpha course, to consider doing that next year. To consider looking into these things for yourself, because Jesus is the hope of the world. He brings us great joy and peace. In the midst of all that's going on in our world, we have joy and peace because Jesus came to rescue us and he came to bring us eternal life and hope and joy and peace. Amen.